You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, and you know that means it's time to talk our state's history. Immigration issues in this country are certainly a daily news headline. The debate over amnesty, the border wall, the treatment of detained individuals, it certainly sparked sharp campaign rhetoric for Republicans and Democrats. Many assume America is the ultimate immigrant destination, but we wondered if there was ever a time when people living in this country, in the U.S., thought they could find a better life somewhere else. Well, let's talk about one such example and its connection to Michigan as we welcome Dr. Delia Fernandez, who is professor of history at Michigan State University. Delia, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you here. So can you give us an example of people in Michigan who looked to find a better place elsewhere?
Yes. And actually, this is a very personal example for me. My grandmother was actually born in Saginaw. She was raised in Saginaw. She's of Mexican-American descent. Her parents were born in Mexico. So she grew up on the fields. Her family was recruited from Texas to work in Saginaw. And when she was a teenager, really right at the beginning of World War II, she tried to get on a truck with migrant workers who were headed to the border. She brought her sister along, and her logic was that there had to be something better than this, that Mexico was going to be somehow better for her as a Mexican-American teenage girl living in rural Michigan. They did not get very far. Their parents found out about it. But I think that's really emblematic of the ways that Mexican, especially young people, were thinking about where they fit in Michigan at this time. That if it wasn't here for them, if they didn't feel like they belonged here, then perhaps Mexico would be this place that was so much more welcoming to them.
Almost a sense of, I'm going back to my roots.
Yes, even though she was born and raised in Saginaw.
Exactly. Living with a foot in either side of the border, emotionally speaking.
Yes.
And there was actually a committee formed about this?
Yes. So in the 1930s, the United States undertook a repatriation campaign. So this happened at a local level, at a state level, at a national level. And repatriation means to go back, to send something back to one's country of origin. So in this case, it was people. At this time, at the national level, the United States was interested in taking on deportation campaigns for people who were here without documentation, but also at a local level, as local as your welfare office. Of course, the welfare office was responsible for trying to take care of people during the Depression, and we saw that those welfare officials were trying to send people back to Mexico, trying to convince them, in some ways coercing them. And then we also saw this backed up through state militias, National Guard, different levels of our military apparatus.
Well, it is interesting to think that people from Mexico were invited in before the Depression when they were needed to fill jobs. And then when the Depression happened and jobs became scarce, it's like, let's push them back across the border. And I think ultimately, some 1.8 million people were deported to Mexico, and about 60% of them were actually American citizens.
Yes, they were Mexican-American. They were children and grandchildren of Mexican nationals. So the committee that was formed at this time was in Mexico. They were Mexican nationals, Mexican citizens, many of them more wealthy during or had a little bit more money during the Depression. And they hoped to raise money to help those Mexicans who were returning to Mexico. And their hope was that they could provide them with land, they could provide them with farming equipment and materials so that the transition wouldn't be as hard. And this was going to be a point of pride for Mexican nationals at the time to say that they could take care of their own. And if they weren't wanted in the United States, then they could always come home.
When I think of what we're talking about in the 1930s, how many people were kind of, doing what your grandmother ultimately did when she was young, thinking, you know what, I think things will be better. I want to go there.
I don't think there were that many, to be honest. I think when it came down to this decision to leave, it wasn't exactly this decision that people were making freely and of their own will. There were so many factors that were coercing them to leave that it's really hard to judge. For example, like my grandmother, the inhospitable environment in Saginaw was something that was pushing her towards this decision. And then to add these very national attitude towards Mexicans at the time was very negative. They were the scapegoat for the Depression. People had said it was Mexicans who were causing this. So for those people who were thinking it was going to be better, it wasn't necessarily really truly what they imagined.
So what type of life awaited Michiganders who moved back to Mexico?
Well, the program of the repatriation committee that they had put together was really well-intentioned, but what they found was that the land that they were giving to the repatriated folks was not desirable land. It was not very fertile land. And honestly, if it had been, it would have been taken by Mexicans who were already there. The Depression was a global phenomenon. So Mexico was also in a depression. So the land and this promise of, you know, economic stability, that was never really fulfilled. And for many people, especially the young people, they found isolation because they had grown up in the United States. Some of them didn't even speak Spanish or had such a cultural distance between themselves and Mexico that when they got there, they were very lonely, very isolated. And then for those Mexican Americans who were repatriated with their families or who went to Mexico for the first time with their families, some of them were unable to gather their documentation because they were forced to leave. So they were essentially stuck in Mexico. They could not return to the United States even after the Depression because they didn't have the documentation to prove that they were American citizens.
What has changed for Mexican Americans in Michigan since 1933, and what hasn't?
Well, I think that there's, the negative sentiment towards Mexicans, unfortunately, is still here in many cases, and we can see that by our own local headlines. But I think that there has been more, as much as the negative sentiment is there, there have been more people who are more welcoming. And a lot of this, I think, is due to the credit of Mexicans themselves who have committed to staying in Michigan and making it a welcoming place. The actions that they undertook, for example, making churches in Michigan, joining or forming sports leagues, sending their kids to local schools, holding dances, making stores that have the cultural products that they're interested in. All of these are examples of placemaking or making a place suitable to your cultural needs. They've done an excellent job at making Michigan home. And other people, not Mexicans, who are non-Mexican, I think have learned to embrace them as well.
Certainly, as we think of what happened 80 years ago, the echoes are very, very loud today, aren't they?
Very loud, especially when we consider families who are mixed status families, who have some folks who are citizens and some are non-citizens. And when they're thinking about returning back to their country of origin, what do we do with those families and those young people in particular?
Something to think about as we mark Hispanic Heritage Month. Dr. Delia Fernandez, Professor of History at Michigan State University, we want to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.